Steve, tell us a little bit of history of this very tiny humanoid alien, maybe deformed child. We'll get into that. Tell me how this came about.
Well, first of all, we're talking about a very small alien that they, by the rulers, about those 6 inches tall, with a typical sagittal crest going from the top of his nose over the top of his head. The thing, George, is petrified. It was found by a very amazing man, Ramon Osorio. And fascinatingly enough, he found them in a part of Chile that is noted for its petrified trees and heavy mineralization. Now, what's even more interesting, if you look at the different views of this thing, it's almost the classic, personification of the bigger aliens that the, you know, people are presented with by the eyewitness reports, etc. If you've looked at it, and I'm sure you have very carefully, it's absolutely fascinating the way this thing has been placed together. Now, again, he's the head, by the way. Ramon Osorio is the head of the investigative branch of the studios or the studies for exobiology, which means, obviously, we would call similar to cryptozoology, exobiology. Mm-hmm. And what I want people to realize is they can go to a fascinating story about, let me take you right to something and we'll come back because it's pertinent. You've probably heard of Pedro the Mountain Mummy. If you haven't, this is a fascinating story. And this guy was only 14 inches tall, but they estimate that he was 65 years old. May I just kind of give you a little history on him?
Please.
He was found sitting cross-legged in a cave in the Granite Mountains around Casper, Wyoming. He basically appeared to be middle-aged. His skin was brown and wrinkled. His nose flat and splayed. By the way, there's a picture of this on my website. He had a low forehead, the mouth lipped wide, and at the maximum extension, he was basically 14 inches tall. Prospectors in 1932 found him in the Pedro Mountains, 60 miles southwest of Casper, Wyoming. Now, I have a dear friend in Casper, Wyoming, who actually saw this, and he said, I saw Pedro the Mountain Mummy, and this is a guy that's a guy I've known for a lot of years. But Dr. Harry Shapiro of the American Museum of Natural History x-rayed the body and was certified as genuine by the Anthropology Department of Harvard University. So this wasn't a fake shrunken head type attempt to get people's attention. And no one knows where it is now, but what's fascinating is that these go along, and this is what I want to show you, that the Shoshone and Crow Indians of Wyoming have absolute, when I say documentation, they have drawings of these little people, and again, what's fascinating is that they have their legends about miniature people that were only inches tall. Now, that's a Shoshone and Crow in the United States. Then you go to Thailand and you get into the Nari Pons, N-A-R-E-E-P-O-N-S.
Oh, shades of Gulliver's Travels, huh?
Exactly. And so what's fascinating, there's just too much of this stuff. Now, somebody says, well, I don't believe that proves anything. Well, of course, they don't believe. And I guess what I'm saying is it goes beyond the realm of believing. It's at least being intellectually honest enough to say, okay, I'm going to follow this story. Like, for instance, some guy just took me to task on email saying, well, how do you know that King Arthur was a giant? Do you know what King Arthur's official name was? Arthur Pendragon, or Son of the Dragon. You know who Merlin was? According to the times that this stuff was being written of, Merlin was considered half-fallen angel, half-man. Interesting, huh?
Yeah, it sure is.
So when someone tells me, and look, I don't mind the arguments. Good night. After 34 years, I think I've heard everything. But again, you know, even in Graham Hancock's newest book on the supernatural element and all this stuff, when you've done it all, when you basically have investigated everything and the similarities are too complete, too many, and too beyond, quote, coincidence or manipulation, then you come to the fact that you better look for the real reasons why this stuff is being overlooked and just look on. You know, you and I have talked on the air about Raiders of the Lost Ark in the very last scene where the Ark of the Covenant is put in, I don't believe this, but it's put into a crate, obviously, and it's put in the back of some giant warehouse someplace.
Yep.
With
great,
all the other things.
Scene.
Yeah, with all the other things that can't be explained. Jonathan Gray, have you? you had Jonathan on your show?
Yes, Jonathan's been on a couple times.
Jonathan is probably one of, in my opinion, one of the most brilliant men out there who has spent his life tracking all this stuff down, out-of-place artifacts. So when we start talking about the universal, again, just as the giants are universal, George, the dwarves, the elves, the fairies, gnomes, trolls, imps, leprechauns, go on and on and on, Nariponds, mountain mummies, little aliens, what's fascinating is you cannot get away from the fact that these people who have these legends, who have eyewitness accounts, span the globe, span every nationality, span every language group. They don't have a common belief. They have basically their ability to relate to them. And some guy also sent me an email saying, well, you're dealing with this oral tradition. Well, wrong. But listen, you only have a couple copies of the Iliad. So do you believe the Iliad exists because there's one, two copies known to be in extent or, you know, some of the works of Plato? No, look, the bottom line is if at least we're going to be playing on a level playing field, then intellectual integrity has to go both ways. So when someone tells me that they believe something exists because there's a single copy of it, and I say to them, but there's 10,000 reports of the skeletons, then they all say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. And the bottom line is, of course you will, but when the people that have controlled these, George, I have people that have called me from Ohio, Pennsylvania, farmers that have turned up skeletons, even some of them in copper armor. Copper's a fascinating subject in itself. And they've told me that the people have come, agencies, and taken them and told them point blank that they had better quit talking about this stuff. Now, where have we heard that before? Isn't that very similar to those with alien experience?
All right, now this little entity, whatever it is, this creature, possibility that it's deformed?
No.
You don't think so? Why not?
Because, first of all, the Ramon and his Exobiologic Institute, they are absolutely tracking eyewitness reports of these, and when they talk to the people, and even some of the people that are artists, and they sketch them, they are almost identical to what he has. When I say identical, they just have a little more meat on them because they aren't petrified and calcified.